EITMonline.com.
How the hell are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm in Denver, Colorado.
How are things out in beautiful Denver, Colorado?
It's actually a beautiful... Yeah, last night was gorgeous. It was really, really nice. Like, I guess, you know, Denver has nice weather, but it was like 80-something and balmy, and I felt like I was in L.A. or something. It was nice.
So now, Chad, were you out there for a bombastic meat bat show?
No, I'm out here doing a chicken foot rock show.
All right, so you were doing that. I have far too many projects that you're involved in to actually keep up with.
Yeah, I know. I'm hard to keep track of, says my wife. I'm finishing up. We're almost done with this tour. We're finishing at the end of this month. And then, I'll go back to my other two day jobs with the Chili Peppers. We'll start rehearsing. And then I'll find some meat bat time as well.
See, but you know what's weird is that, like, the... Because we talked to Michael Anthony when you guys, as Chicken Foot, came through and did the Baltimore show.
Oh, cool.
The reviews of the show were great. The record's fantastic.
Thank you.
And then... But he was saying that the Chicken Foot as a project or as a band isn't going anywhere, that they're going to go ahead and let you or loan you out to the Chili Peppers in October.
You're a Chicken Foot member now. You're not a Chili Pepper
According
anymore.
To Michael Anthony, that is your main band.
Oh, he's going to loan me out to the Chili Peppers. That's so nice of him.
That's exactly how he phrased it.
I like that. You know, Mike is a very positive, forward-thinking man. He's very modern, and I commend him for his forward thinking. Yeah, you know, I mean, right now, well, probably because this is Mike's main gig.
Yeah, by the way, Mike wasn't leaving to go do anything else.
I don't think so. Who's chiming in with the high voice over there?
It's me, Chad. It's Diane. It's nice to talk to you.
Hi, Diane. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Okay.
So Mike has no other job.
No, he moves his cars around.
What does he do? What does Michael Anthony do? What is it? What is
he
do?
I believe he goes out and looks in his garage and makes macaroni and cheese and hot sauce.
And then he picks out which guitars he wants to donate because he has too many.
Oh, that's right.
that sounds like a fun party, like in the garage to a bonfire of burning guitars with what? Macaroni and cheese?
Yeah, he's doing his rockaroni or whatever it is.
he has like hot sauce, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, yeah, he has the hot sauce. Oh, you know what? Now I'm confusing my artist. We also just had Joe Perry in here.
Forgive me.
Joe Perry's doing macaroni and cheese. Michael Anthony has the hot sauce.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chad.
Don't confuse those guys.
Sorry. I apologize.
Although, I'm sure if Michael was eating Joe Perry's macaroni and cheese, he would put his hot sauce on it. Because he puts his hot sauce on everything. He puts hot sauce on potato chips. He's like, I swear to God, he has his little bottles and he travels with them, and, you know, whatever kind of food shows up, he's like, I gotta have some hot sauce.
He's such a little product whore. He's like, oh, look, here's my hot sauce.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know.
But, Chad, let me get back to where we were, please.
Okay, where were we?
So he said that you're going back, and you mentioned you're going to go back in October, and at least that's everything we've read, and you'll go back and do some stuff with the Chili Peppers.
We're going to write some songs.
But then I'm looking at the Meat Bats schedule.
Yes.
You're playing in Japan at the end of October.
I'm not.
You're not?
I'm not. I can't do it. So I had to have the wonderful and talented and handsome Kenny Aronoff, who's a drummer, plays with a bunch of people. John Mellencamp and Bob Seger and Fogerty and Melissa Etheridge and Smashing Pumpkins, all kinds of people. He's like the hired gun superstar drummer. And he's a good friend of mine, and I know him. And I said, man, can you do this for me? I can't go. I got too much And the Japanese are not that happy about it.
I was going to say, are the Japanese going to be surprised when Chad Smith's bombastic meat bat show up without Chad Smith?
It's Kenny Aronoff's bombastic meat bat. Well, I did a nice video thing for them and put it up on a couple websites and the promoter's website and said, you know, I'm really sorry I can't come, but I'll see you soon.
Well, that's cool. I mean, that's almost like you were there.
No, they know. And it's just little clubs, you know. It's not like we're playing big, huge places or anything. But because the Meat Bats thing is kind of like a cult. It's like a cult following. It's like a cult band. We're not competing with the Coldplays and the, you know, the big rock bands of the day. We're just this kooky instrumental band, and people that get it are going to really get it and dig it, and that's fine. That's what we're going for.
Well, I was going to tell you something about. I'm now going to refer to them as Kenny Erloff's Bombastic Meatbats.
Aronoff.
Sorry.
Aronoff.
I'm pronouncing it the Japanese way.
Okay.
But I can't tell you the last time I sat down and listened to instrumental music.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, and I hope it sounds surprising, because it's not generally something that I would go out and seek out and go, oh,
no.
I want to sit down and listen to some instrumental music. I really enjoyed it.
Well, good. Well, you know, when people think kind of instrumental music, you know, the instrumental music that I know, I mean, Joe Satriani is an instrumentalist, but a good one, but most I think of, like, boring old guys playing lots of notes and fusion-y muso music, you know?
Right.
And that's what I want people to make, to know that that's not what we're doing. That's not our thing. This is, like, fun, and we don't obviously take ourselves too seriously, and it's, you know, it's funky, and it's rock. It's not, like, you know, a million notes, and I, you know what? I did this interview with this guy in Alabama, in Birmingham, Alabama, about a week ago, and he was like, "Well, I don't know what kind of category to put this music in. I just don't know. It sounds like to me like music that Frank Sinatra would be listening to if he was sniffing coke off of his ass." And I was like, "That's pretty good. If you're going to be in a category, it's not a bad one."
No, I feel like that's probably one of the nicest compliments somebody could give you
I was like, yes. I go, you're a genius redneck guy. No, he's just off the cuff, man. He was really searching for a way to sort of, you know, define or categorize it. And I said, yeah, make one of those little things, those little card placement things, and put that in your CD store and find some bands to put under that. And that's a good one, though. But, you know, it's really, again, these are projects that I like to do that are fun. It came out of, again, I played with the guitar player and the keyboard player. We're in a group, and I was playing with this guy, Glenn Hughes. He used to play in Deep Purple a while back, and now he's a solo artist. I worked with him quite a bit, and we were kind of in his band, and we'd make records with him and tour sometimes, and we just started jamming. You know, he was like late for rehearsal or something one day, and I was like, we should like do this. We should make a record. This kind of Jeff Becky kind of blow-by-blow era 70s funk jazzy thing, and so we did.
Hey, when you sit down and listen to it, or when you guys get together and you play it,
yeah.
does it sound, and maybe this is how instrumental music is supposed to be for somebody who would listen to instrumental music regularly,
yeah.
But I feel like it sounds different, even though if you're listening to the same song over and over again, it sounds different every time because you're not focused on somebody singing, you're not listening for lyrics, you hear it completely differently.
Yeah, I would that's a good assessment. Yeah, because most of the time, that's what you're naturally go to, unless you're, you know, a real musician. You're listening for, you know, oh, I'm listening to the drummer's part or the keyboard's part or whatever. Yeah, if you're just listening to it as an average Joe putting it on, most people's ear go to the melody and lyric. You know, that's like the normal thing that's catchy and you sing along to. And, you know, so when that's not there, there's other things that you have to pick out. So it's a little more challenging for a listener. It's not like background music, you know. So that's great. To me, I don't want to play background music.
Right.
You know, that's for elevators and stuff, you know. But at the same time, I don't want it to be like ultra challenging and really difficult, you know, you can't tap your foot to it, you know. It's like, I want to groove and play groove music, and that's what we do.
Now, I get where the title Bread Balls comes from.
Yeah.
I also get where the title Oops, I Spilled My Beer comes from, as you yell that at the end of the song.
I did, and that's what happened because I kicked over my beer when I finished the song.
Perfect name for me. Well, what the hell happened when you named, which, by the way, my favorite song so far that I've heard is Battle for Ventura Boulevard.
Yeah, it's a good one.
But how do you come up with titles for songs where, like, is generally the title is somewhat hidden in the song?
You know, that's, we were talking about that. It's a good question. A good.
Oh, really?
Yes. Because,
oh, thank you. Way to go.
You're welcome. Because again, it's not like, you know, there's not. We're not singing. You know, there's no singing. So there's no words. There's no. You know, we're not. There's no connection in that way. So we get. I don't know if you got a copy of the record that has all the stuff on it and all the writing, but we have nicknames for everybody, and we have nicknames for people that work for us, and we're kind of kooky in that way, and so we're really, you know, there's a lot of inside jokes and stuff that happens, and so lots of times songs, I think on this record, it's probably half and half. Sometimes somebody would just come up with something that we need, and we're like, well, what should we name this song? And we don't actually have an idea for a name, and so someone will come up with something. But lots of them come from the feeling that the song gives us. So if it's like, there's a song called Into the Floyd.
Right.
And to me, it's like kind of has a Pink Floyd vibe to it a little bit. But also, you know, Into the Void is a Black Sabbath song. So there's like, we'll do that kind of stuff to it, you know.
I think if I read something where you were talking specifically about that song, your encouragement was smoke a lot of weed and put on headphones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about...
It's got like a, you know, like a No Quarters, like Led Zeppelin-y kind of, you know, that kind of... Thing.
What does Need Strange come from?
Ooh, that one used to be called Billy P because it was that has like a Billy Preston vibe to it, you know?
Right.
That was Billy P for a while, and then that turned to Need Strange, and I think Ed, the keyboard player who sort of penned that, most of that music, came up with that, so I don't know if that's something that he's calling out to the people that he needs. He has a girlfriend though, so I don't know, maybe that's why.
Hey, let me ask you this. Are you
maybe you would ask me that one.
are you looking forward to the kind of the hiatus coming to an end in the writing and recording process to start back up?
With the Chili Peppers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Oh, very much so. Yeah, we've been off for 2 years. That's the longest we've been maybe ever off, and for sure in 10 years, because we used to write, record, tour, you know, we just go. So, yeah, it's gonna be great. We're gonna have, I mean, I don't know what it's gonna be, which is always exciting because we never, you know, plan anything out before we get together. We just get together and start playing, and what do you got? I got this, let's try that. And it's always, you know, very fresh and whatever's happening at the moment. And it's that process to me, I mean, I love touring, I love doing shows and stuff, and it's great. But the creative process of writing music to me is really where it's at for me right now. I just love it. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Is there any kind of like, and I don't know, I mean, I would imagine you're at a point where you don't get nervous really about stuff, but maybe almost like an anxiousness. Where, because there was the announced hiatus and kind of everybody's waiting and going, okay, they're going to get back, and now let's see what they've got. Is there any anxiety about that?
No.
All right.
I don't really worry about that. You know, I'm not even really aware of that, to tell you the truth. We're just, you know, trying to be ourselves and make the best music that we can. You can't worry about that stuff.
Hey, when you guys take a long break like that, do you still constantly keep in touch, or is it going to be something where you go by like months without talking to each other?
It depends, you know. Like on this break, it can be some months where time goes by. Anthony and I live in the same neighborhood. I see him. And we have small children, and our paths cross in that way sometimes. Actually, they go to the same preschool. And so I'll see him there, you know, we'll be dropping the kids off. And, you know, we socialize. I, you know, Flea and I, go. We split Laker tickets, so I saw him quite a bit, you know, this year. Since they were the world champs. And you know, John is the one I don't see as much. He lives in Hollywood. And he kind of just goes underground, and he's really into his music, and he plays a lot with a lot of different artists, and he's always making music. He does a lot of electronic music. He does his own records. You know, he's probably busier than I am as far as playing with other people and doing music. And so he's, you know, we all have families and married and girlfriends and stuff, and, you know, so he's the one that I don't see as much. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every once in a while, hey, what's up? Hey, what's up? How are you? Good. And, you know, I mean, we've known each other for so long.
Right.
We, like, you know, over 20 years, you know, and it's like, you don't have to, you know, hang out with a guy once a week, you know, and have a little, you know, to be connected, you know. It's just like, we're an old married couple. Couples.
So,
you know.
No, that makes total sense. All right,
yeah.
So let's pick up. So
I need to break. You know? I don't want to see him.
You watch. You guys will all get together. It'll be October 3rd or 4th. You'll walk in and go, nah, you know what? Tack another year on this thing. Not quite ready yet.
Yeah, no, we did that once already. We met. We actually had a meeting. We sat down and we said, you know, okay, it's been a year. You know, our managers are always, you know, hey, come on, you guys. You know, they want the cash cow to keep
That's right.
Going.
Come on, 10% of nothing this year is 10%
exactly.
of nothing.
Exactly. Those bastards sit home with the checks come rolling in. I'm really, you know, Flea was going to school. He went back to USC. He was taking music classes. And, you know, I was doing other things. And it was just like, hey, you know what? Yeah, you can't force things. It's not with our group, you know.
Right.
People's not ready, you're not ready. But, we're going to start the 12th, actually. October 4th, Felicia mentioned, I am going to go in and make a record with Kid Rock.
Are you really?
I'm going to play on his next record, I should say.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, hold on. All right, so now I have one more thing to add to the list of
Thank
plugs
God.
For Chad Smith.
And don't forget that there's a record coming out called Rhythm Train with I'm shamelessly plugging with this woman, Leslie Pixar, but also myself and Dick Van Dyke are on it.
Pardon me?
The Dick Van Dyke?
Yeah, Dick Van Dyke, 82 years old. And he's like...
He's alive?
He's alive! Yeah. He's awesome, man. He's so cool. We rap on it, and it's like a kid's record. It's like, the woman that does it, Leslie Bixler, was at my son's school, and we did this record together, and we kind of wrote and arranged the music, and Dick is kind of a conductor on the train, and he's, you know, kind of MCs it and talks through it, and him and I are pirates at this one point. It's awesome. So, yeah, that's another thing I'm doing.
All right, so you got the Kid Rock project. You've got this Dick Van Dyke. I don't know. That sounds like some kind of drug thing. I don't know what the hell that is.
Yeah, we just take acid and talk about Mary Tyler Moore.
And there will be another Bombastic Meat Bats record, although this one just out.
Yeah,
but there will be
another one in the can.
Very good.
We do.
And then, you know what? The way this all ended, you'll go do that little Chili Peppers thing, and then right back to Chicken Foot, your primary job.
According to Mike Anthony. I'm going to break his bones about that today. I'm going to have to learn. Jesus.
Please do. Chad Smith, it is very nice to talk to you, sir.
Very nice to talk to you guys. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you, man.
All right.
Bye.
Okay, bye.